I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, can do.
This is Bill Duncliffe. I want to welcome you back to another edition of the Can Do Podcast, where the heroes and history of horse racing come alive, part of the In the Money Media Network. This is another episode of our Beyond the Backstretch series, celebrating and illuminating the lives of the backstretch heroes who make our sport run every day. After 14 years at the helm of the Backstretch Employee Services Team of New York, Executive Director Paul Ruchames retired at the end of last year. Stepping into that role was Nancy Underwood, previously the Saratoga Program Director for BEST, and frequent listeners will remember, one-time podcast guest for this series also. Nancy's long tenure with the BEST Saratoga Program and commitment to the health and well-being of the backstretch community made her a perfect choice to, no pun intended, take the reins of BEST in the wake of Paul's departure. We connected in late February of this year to talk about her first 60 or so days on the job, as well as her aims and goals for the program as it provides critical support to a backstretch community that numbers in the thousands and is supported with a wide variety of services from the BEST team. Such is the nature of the sport required, and of Nancy's hands-on nature, we rescheduled the timing of that day's interview because of an urgent issue she wanted to make sure was addressed right away.
I was just looking at the calendar. You're a little short of 60 days in the new position, right? But typically, that's a time when you, you know, for any of us in any new job, you go in and you have certain goals and ideas and thoughts, and most of them I think you're able to execute, accomplish on, but then also I think you also kind of run into some speed bumps also, one of which is today, I guess. But if you don't mind just kind of recapping what your first couple of months has been like.
Sure. So the first 30 days, I really took the time just to get to Belmont, you know, because historically for 10 years, I've been at Saratoga. So I've just really focused on being at Belmont, getting to know our amazing staff down there, seeing some of the programs that they've implemented. We have it's the same population, but the programming is a little different between Saratoga and Belmont, because Belmont, they're more permanent residents.
Yep.
So they're living there full-time in Saratoga. You know, we have 750 dorms. You have 1,500 to 2,000 people living there, but it's constantly changing. The population's changing. Maybe they're from Kentucky. They're there for 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. Some of those individuals never go to Belmont, and they only come to Saratoga. So, you know, really just getting to know the staff who downstate, they've been there. Many of them have been there. Most of them have been there for many years. And their perspective is amazing, and they're ready to go. I mean, I'm kind of high energy and high intensity, and so they've really just handled it pretty well. And so the first 30 days was really just hanging out one-on-one with them, going through some of their programming, and seeing how we can merge the two programs a little bit better. And also grow and build together from Saratoga and Belmont. So one of the initiatives right off the bat that we're going to do is try to get some better continuity of care between the two locations. So, for example, we have two backstretch clinics, Northwell running the one downstate and Saratoga Hospital running the one upstate for us. And what I've found is we have some duplication of services, right? So we have people who start their workers' comp, or maybe they have an injury or an illness downstate, they come to Saratoga. Because they're two separate healthcare systems, we haven't really been able to coordinate that care so great. So we're immediately going to, we're looking for a care services director to make sure we know who's moving back and forth. So you're not going and getting your blood work and a physical at Belmont and then turning around in Saratoga and establishing as a patient there and getting a physical and blood work again.
Oh,
so we're going to have better communication. So I think we can really improve some healthcare initiatives just with a simple better plan of communication between the two locations. I'm really excited about that. The staff is excited. And then the second thing that we're going to do, because we do have more of a permanent population downstate, is really get to know everybody who's back there. So I look at it like school, right? So as a school administrator, you know all of the students, their cousins, their brothers, their aunts, uncles, grandparents who might pick them up. And so really focusing on getting to know the population downstate, and starting it by doing a physical and blood work right off the bat. So trying to run an initiative, maybe starting in April, to get everybody that blood work and physical, but also to start doing some social emotional questions like, hey, you know, what do you plan to do when you retire? What, like, do you plan to go home to your family? Do you have family here? What's your support system look like outside of the racetrack? Because one of our other initiatives is really addressing that 62 plus population and making sure that when the time comes, that there's a pretty solid social services plan in place for people. Where are they retiring to? Are they going home? Because unfortunately for all of us, it comes at some point where we have to start making those plans. I mean, we have 1,500 to 2,000 in Saratoga. Right now, there are about 700 people living on the backside at Belmont.
Okay.
So it's pretty huge. It's a big undertaking, but I think we're more than capable of doing it, and we can spread it out over a period of time. You know, just like you go get your annual physical, we're going to start the same thing on the backside. And then we'll check in every year, you know, and have that baseline of health and what their plans are and how things are going. And you have to know what you don't know also.
that's one of my favorite phrases. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah.
You have to know what you don't know. So, you know, and then leaning on other professionals to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And can't be afraid to ask the questions. So, like I said, I can pick up the phone and call someone. I've been here a long time now, but I didn't start off as a racetrack person. And so it was all new to me. I was an educator and in health and human services and mental health care. And so it was a learning process. And so I don't always know the intricacies of things that are happening out back. I've certainly learned, but we have such a vast net of professionals who do know that, you know, you can call them. It's really great.
She's doing all of that listening and learning while burning up the miles between her upstate base and the best offices in Belmont.
So I'm driving back and forth from, I actually live in Lake George, so driving back and forth from Lake George to Elmont. And it's an okay trip. You know, hopefully when we get the new position downstate, the care services director, they'll be my boots on the ground down there. So my commute will lessen to not every week, but maybe, you know, a couple times a month or once a month based on the population increases in both places.
Yeah. That's I'm glad that the commute is going well. Or it hasn't been too bad, but I can also appreciate that you want to kind of put a time, you know, you still want to be a presence there. Obviously you have to be, but it the type of thing you do want to put a little bit of a time limit on, I guess. Right.
Yes. I mean, it's been great. A lot of people do Zoom calls and, you know, WebEx, but I'm much more of in person type of person. So I need to kind of feel the room, see what's going on. I want to know if they're just saying yes to me just because I'm, you know, on the call, but I want to see it from their face, you know, if they're excited about it, if we can really get people to move forward. So I think, you know, you've heard me say it before, New York racing offers the most comprehensive services across this country. They are underutilized, and so let's use them. Let's make New York the place that everybody wants to come and live and race at. I mean, we have the opportunity to really continue to be the gold standard and the role model across the country, and I'm really excited about it.
It's good to remember that the services provided by Best are not only offered to a community that numbers in the thousands, but it is one that shifts and changes with the racing calendar and is in the midst of a massive reordering of the state's racing plans.
It's all a little crazy, but, you know, I think most people in the industry kind of thrive in these uncertain times. And, you know, it's such an amazing industry that really the support systems are all in place. I can always just pick up the phone and call somebody if I have a question, and they do the same for me. And it's a small industry. It looks really huge from the outside, but it's a pretty small industry. So, I mean, it's exciting times. The future of racing in New York is bright, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Immigration is obviously a controversial political topic these days, and I wanted to make sure that it was understood for those confused by advocates of various stripes who leverage their own terminologies in support of their political views, that in New York's racing community, among the many services provided to this in-need community, strict standards regarding immigration law are required, mandated, and observed.
I think the only thing I'll really comment on that about is, you know, the news is difficult to watch. And no matter which news you watch, it's difficult, yeah. especially if you're working with humans. And so you really do feel for people who are trying to make a better life for themselves. But then you look at our population, and we've always said it's the migrant workforce. Mm-hmm. But now that's kind of become interchangeable when people talk, and it's like, well, you know, the men and women who work back there, they have to go through a long process in order right. to even get on the property.
Right.
They're doing New York State Gaming Commission background checks. The trainers have to submit information. After they get their gaming commission license, then they can get a NYRA badge. So everybody's kind of used that interchangeably, I guess. And I always worry because I'm in Health and Human Services. Yeah, it's the perception is rough out there in the community at times, but the more that we spread the positive message of what we're doing and how we're supporting people, you know, the restaurants and the farms, the people who work at the restaurants and the farms, you know, they don't have access to the kind of services that the NYRA has provided on its property,
yeah,
on all the properties. So we actually have nonprofits on the property to provide certain services. So, you know, you have the Belmont Child Care Association, which works with the children, which is phenomenal. The Racetrack Chaplaincy, which is responsible for spiritual guidance and recreation. And in Saratoga, we also have LifeWorks, which does some immigration work, taxes, and English classes. Belmont mm-hmm. Best does that. We have a little school down there for citizenship classes and English classes. So, I mean, you look at the comprehensive services that we can provide people. So if somebody we see everybody. So if somebody comes to us and they need, you know, we're assessing the situation and they need to be linked to an outside agency, then we will do that for them to make sure that everybody's taken care of. And it could look like anything on any given day. So maybe, you know, they missed a deadline for some paperwork and they're worried about it. So we have to make an appointment for them and get them for that, for their paperwork. Or, you know, when you get an H-2B visa, for example, you're sponsored by that employer. So if you choose not to work with that employer anymore, you have to change your visa. So there's a process for that as well. If you don't change your visa, then yeah, you're considered undocumented because you were here to work with that individual. So, mm-hmm. Really education, where we do know your rights trainings for the backstretch, some immigration law opportunities, one-on-one opportunities, mm-hmm. and we have a pretty nice grant downstate from the Long Island Community Foundation to address some of those things, and at least figure out if somebody needs additional professional assistance in order to make sure that their stuff is in line. But again, that is all provided on a property that has this population, and you don't see that anywhere else.
The willingness to observe and heed those requirements by the backstretch community only further underlines the love they have for this sport and for their equine charges, and why the team at Best is equally devoted to taking care of that community.
You look at the backstretch population, for example, and the trainers, the assistant trainers, they're all out there 6-7 days a week. And if you ask any of them, they wouldn't want another job. They love their jobs. They love the animals that they work with. They love the industry. And when you're in an environment like that, listen, we have, you know, like any industry, you're going to have some really good apples and some bad apples. And the goal is that you have more good than bad, and that you can influence change and push for the positivity. But, I mean, for the majority of people back there, they really do love it. And our goal from Best is to really, truly just care for the people who care for the horses and make sure that we have the healthiest backstretch across the country. And really, again, to just show people that this is how you take care of people. We can do it. It's an effort, and, you know, we're learning every day, but it is possible to truly take care of your workforce, and we do it in New York.
One immutable fact about any nonprofit organization is fundraising. So if you've gotten this far and understand that it is contributions from people like you and I that enable the fine work that Best does, please go to their site, www.bestbackstretch.org. As Nancy says, it's easy to find the donate button.
So, I mean, really, we just want to share our mission within the New York racing industry, but also across the country, recognize that, you know, we can be the role model about how to take care of a population or this population, and really get the message out there. I think we have a really powerful message, and hopefully that translates into raising some money, because we have to do that.
Yep. So the website that people can go to, Nancy, to contribute after they heard your message, what is the website?
It is www.bestbackstretch.org, and there's a donate button right there. You can do a monthly donation, which I love that idea. How many people have a Netflix service that they don't even watch every month, and it just comes out every month? You just get used to it. I love that. I encourage everybody to do that.
I hope you will do just that. Go to the site, donate, and recognize that what the best team and the backstretch teams do is all in support of this great sport of thoroughbred racing. What can I say except I wish Nancy, Best, and the entire backstretch community, well, nothing but the best. We'll be back again soon with another edition of the Can Do Horse Racing Podcast in our Beyond the Backstretch series. In the meantime, may good health and happiness and gratitude for both, for you and your loved ones, be yours today and always.
I got the horse. Ride!